A taxing issue? How do you get online companies to pay more when they're not physically located in your country? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The European Union wants to take more of a tax bite from digital giants like Apple, Google, Facebook, and Amazon without hurting smaller startups. How exactly do you tick those competing boxes? Well, that's what EU finance ministers will be talking about tomorrow in Estonia. The BBC's Vishala Sripathma has more.
Reports suggest that the European Union lost billions of dollars in tax revenue from Google and Facebook alone. They want this to change and are about to unveil a plan that will tax companies wherever they make money in Europe, not just where they're headquartered. Most big tech companies typically choose to locate their headquarters in places like Ireland and Luxembourg, which have lower tax rates. Jason Carrion is the Global Finance and Economics Editor at Quartz.
Their servers are based in one country, their users are elsewhere, their sales are based in another place, their costs are in different places, their intellectual property is in different countries. These are companies that don't work like companies used to when these tax laws were first formed.
The push to force the likes of Google and Apple to pay more is being led by France, alongside Germany, Italy and Spain. But the tech giants have hinted that higher tax bills might mean they'll take their business elsewhere.
Vishala Sripathma, let's look at the markets. Even though North Korea fired yet another missile over Japan, the Nikkei closed up 102 points or 0.52%. The FTSE's leading European markets low down 68 points or 0.93% after an explosion at a London tube station. It happened at rush hour this morning. Several were injured. It's being treated as a terrorist incident by UK officials. Now, U.S. retail sales figures are out later today. You've got hollowed-out malls in America and empty British shops. But has the death of physical retail been greatly exaggerated? Some perspective now from retail expert Mary Portis, also known as the Queen of Shops. She's helped revitalize physical shopping here in Britain.
Retail changes about every 50 years. Every time people go, all that's gone before is going to disappear. No. We haven't said goodbye to markets. In fact, one of the biggest growth areas in retail in this country today is the market store. And why? Because people want to socialise. But we will be doing less bricks and mortar retailing in the way that we used to do it. We will see the end of that.
What do physical shops need to do to stay relevant and to get that business?
First of all, you will be seeing less retail shops. So some of those tertiary sites, towns where it's just not financially viable for them to be in, will be closing down. The second thing is that you're going to see lots of businesses downsizing, focusing very much on that local market and its needs. And then the word that's on everybody's buzz lips, experience, experience, experience. When you are going into these stores, what experience are consumers getting? And people are being extraordinarily creative and tangential in that. And the great ones are just leading.
Mary Portis there. Ethiopia is still associated in the minds of many with the famine of 1984, but today the country's trade has grown far more robust. Alistair Leithhead reports.
Ethiopia's economy has been growing at around 10% a year for the last decade, and the World Bank predicts it's going to be the continent's fastest growing for the next 3 years. At the heart of it all is building infrastructure and bringing in foreign investors.
Hittad's relationship with Ethiopia dates back to 1902.
Sudinia Mekbib is Managing Director of Pittard's Ethiopia.
Ethiopia is going through a very exciting time. We're going through an industrialization process, so that creates quite a lot of jobs for a lot of Ethiopians.
After spending years living in the UK, Sudinia Mekbib came home to a very different country than the one she left.
Things were different. Ethiopia was under a lot of poverty and drought. Now the government is in control.
There's certainly control. The government has big plans for building and forces them through. There are many issues over human rights abuses, all in the pursuit of economic expansion. Getachew Taklamariam is an economist in Ethiopia.
Are the locals going to be staying as employees of these multinationals, or do we have actually concrete plans to move them from being employees of these multinational companies to actually be owners of industries in the future?
Expanding and building world-class industrial parks is the model we have chosen.
That's the architect of it all, Akhebe Okube, the Prime Minister's special advisor. Like many countries right now in Africa, the debts are piling up. The money's being spent on infrastructure and mostly through Chinese companies.
The key issue is the rate of economic growth that will help to repay the debts and the repayment of the loans. Because if you have rapid economic growth, you will definitely be able to absorb the debts.
Well, perhaps the most visible sign of Ethiopia's economic growth is its airline. It now flies to 96 different cities, and there's no better advert than that for a country on the rise.
Alistair Leithhead in Ethiopia. Finally, the world's biggest food company, Nestle, known for instant coffee, has bought a 65% stake in Blue Bottle, which sells beans roasted no more than 24 hours ago. The California company's founder said he wanted to sell coffee that didn't taste like flea shampoo. I don't know about you, but at this time in the morning, any caffeine hit will do. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.